Our scripture readings for this evening's sermon that I'll be reading is Hebrews 6, 9 through 20, and 1 John 2, 18 through 29. The Canon of Dort, chapter 5, articles 9 through 11, was a little lengthy, so we're going to forego reading that together. But let's read God's word. Hebrews 6, 9 through 20. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, 1 John 2, 18 through 29. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Dear people of God, we come in our consideration of the general truth about the preservation and perseverance of Christians throughout life to the very practical and personal question of our own experience of it. The canons are not content with simply giving us knowledge, but want to lead us to experience the blessings of God. We have seen how they seek to explain what the Bible teaches about our security, and then to guard us from the devil's attacks by telling us that our security is based on God's love, not on our works, as well as explaining how, though secure, we can and do struggle with and fall into sin. Although our assurance may feel like it is gone when we sin, we are assured that even in such times, God is holding on to us, and by means of discipline will bring us back to Him in the enjoyment of our assurance. Today, we turn to the personal issue of the degree of the experience of assurance, why there are differences, and how we can increase our experience of assurance. Now, that is indeed a welcome and exciting message, for we do want to be certain of our salvation and security. We see that the Bible certainly has this concern, as we clearly see from John's epistle. He talks of many ways in which we can know beyond doubt that we have eternal life. This is the focus of our purpose, that each child of God may come to experience daily a greater sense of assurance. Do you have this experience every day? This is the joy that the Lord would have you experience, so your joy may be full. And this brings us to our first point. The experience of our assurance in proportion to faith concerning our adoption, our forgiveness, and our eternal life. Imagine that there are two people at the airport about to board a 747 jumbo jet for an 11-hour nonstop flight from London to LA. One fears flying because of the heights involved, as well as doubting that such a heavy mass of metal can even fly. The other person is so excited to fly and knows the scientific reason why heavy machines can in fact fly and is enjoying the experience. Now I ask you, as the two people sit side by side, will one be more secure and safe than the other? Now, of course, we know that both will be equally safe, for they are on the same plane. However, if I ask you, who will experience greater security? Then, of course, we know it will be the one who knows about flying. Such is the case with our assurance of salvation. Both the Arminian who truly believes and the Reformed believer who truly believes are equally safe in God's arms and will, without a doubt, remain secure all the way to heaven. But their daily experience will be a world of difference. Now, the canons seek to explain why this difference exists and how those who do not fully experience assurance can improve. The Bible wants us all to experience the full measure of assurance, but the failure in experiencing it comes because we fail to understand the Bible. One area is our understanding of the fact that we are adopted as God's children, and hence are living members of the Church of God. The Catechism in Question and Answer 54 tells us that we are gathered, protected, and preserved as members of the Church by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, all who believe are children of God forever, but if we do not understand the Bible, we may begin to doubt, even though that we are always His children. We see the devil seeks to make us doubt, as we see with Christ, as he was told, if you are the Son of God. We then need to go back and read our Bibles and understand that we are children, not because we choose or decide, but because God chooses us and decides. And as we know from passages such as John 1, verses 12 and 13, and John 3, verses 3, 6, and 8. We come to know that we are chosen and adopted by the fact that we have come to believe and love the Lord. So when we understand these things, we do not doubt, but experience the blessing that we have. It is simply a matter that you understand the Bible. Therefore, John is concerned about them understanding and holding to the truth of God of which he wrote. So you want to experience assurance? Then learn and trust the Bible. As we have seen before, another area of attack by the devil on our assurance is to point to our sin and charge that we are not children of God. Again, it is a matter of understanding the Bible. If we do not understand that we have been freely forgiven for all of our sins and that our salvation was not based on our good works, but rather the death of Christ on the cross, which paid for all of our sins, then in our experience, the devil is going to make us doubt and worry about our salvation. For every day, we fail in sin in various ways. So those who say, you know, I don't need to understand doctrine as long as I believe in Christ, are being very naive and will not experience full assurance, and indeed will be tossed to and fro by the devil and his doubts, even though they are, if they truly believe, perfectly safe. So you see, you must not neglect or see as a waste of time studying these things, for they will have a big effect upon our daily experience. The greatest fear we have is death, and so any Christian who doubts whether he will have eternal life will suffer much. Again, the Bible is clear in teaching that eternal life is a gift of God, which he has given to those he has chosen to love. We in no way earn eternal life. However, if we fall into the trap that we must earn it by being holy, then although we have it all the time, we will live as though we are not sure, and hence it will affect our joy. So again, we are to read the Bible and seek to understand these truths so that we will not fall into error and be targets of the devil. So why does one Christian experience more joy and assurance than another? Is it that God has given one more security than the other? The answer is that God has us all equally safe in his hands and has given us the same salvation. But differences in experience arise because some do not make the effort to study God's word and doctrine and hence do not know what they have. So we call you to study and read so that your joy may be full and that you may live in the full assurance every day. And this brings us to our second point, the experience of assurance through God's given avenues of his word, his spirit, and his work of holiness. We have pointed out that some in the church had fallen into the error of making assurance and salvation dependent on some mysterious experience or some peculiar revelation. Some say we cannot really be assured that we are Christians until we have some kind of experience that they cannot really explain. Others opt for different signs of confirmation, like speaking in tongues or being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The canons address such questions in Chapter 1, Article 12, where we were taught how one knows that one is elect. We are warned about these avenues, for they lead to confusion, and further, God has given us avenues for us all to know for certain. He has given us, in the first place, his word. The Bible was written for us that we might understand and believe in Christ and know that we have eternal life. We should not look for anything beyond the Bible or any experiences beyond the Bible, for they will only trap us and rob us of our assurance and joy. I ask you, what more assurance do you need than God's word and oath? Is God so untrustworthy that you need more proof? Who is there that you will trust more than God? Will whatever so-called experiences that people invent as assurances be more certain than God's promises, surely we have gone astray. We need to return to understanding God's word and read and understand Hebrews 6:13 through 20, that God has given us all the certainty that we need. Let us trust God's word, for it will never fail. When doubts come open, God's word will blow them away. We must be careful, though, that we do not make assurances only a matter of knowledge, for it is not, for it involves experience too. The promises of God's word are certain, but the question is, how do we know that they apply to us? Well, here we understand that God takes these promises, namely salvation, and applies it to each of his chosen children. We are born by God's Spirit, so each Christian knows the working of the Holy Spirit. We must reject all who say we received the Spirit sometime after conversion. We are told that God has sealed and anointed us by his Spirit. Not only does the Spirit enlighten our mind and hearts such that we understand and embrace the gospel, which on our own we would never do, but he further confirms these things to us experientially, as we read in Romans 8:16 through 17, namely that he witnesses to our spirit that we are children of God. We are not involved in self-deception, but rather we are taught by the Spirit that these things are true to us, and in that we rejoice. Of course, all things that we have mentioned are to be taken together. That is, the Bible promises and the witness of the Spirit, and not one or the other, for that leads to much danger. And as we know, good works are not the ground of our salvation, but rather the fruit of our salvation. In other words, we do good works not in order to be saved, but because we are saved. So another way that we can have certainty that we are God's children is to see the evidence of God working in our lives in terms of holiness. When we see us desiring to live holy lives and struggling with sin, then we can be certain that God is at work in us by his Spirit and that we are his children. For if not, we would not worry about sin at all. As we have said, all these things go hand in hand. When we fail to understand any of these avenues, then our assurance of salvation is affected. So we urge you all to give attention to all these things. Study the Bible and the precious promises that God has made and the work of Christ in paying for all our sins. You may think it is not necessary, but we tell you, it is very important and affects you every day in terms of joy. Also, live holy lives. For as with David, we see that sin affects our experience of assurance. And on the other hand, holy living serves to confirm our assurance. There is no mystery over assurance, and we must avoid those who seek to lead us in that direction. Simply know and trust God. Follow him in holiness each day. And our third point for this evening is the experience of assurance is essential to our joyful living. As we have mentioned at the outcome, people that are secure can experience great misery. Think of all the different phobias that people have, such as the fear of water, the fear of heights, the fear of open places, the fear of closed places, flying, dogs. You can't imagine the misery such people experience when faced with such things. Now imagine you were faced with such things every day. How miserable would our life be? Imagine you thought your life was in danger by some disease that you were convinced you had. How burdensome would such a life be? We are warned that we must make every effort to use the avenues we have mentioned, because failure to do so can have a devastating effect on our life, even as the elect of God. I use the illustration of the Arminian and Reformed believers crossing a field which is totally safe, but only the Reformed person believes it, whereas the Arminian believes there are mines which will threaten to blow them up. Will they both make it across the field of life safely? Of course, for there are no mines. But will they both travel with the same sense of joy and comfort? Of course not. One will be sweating buckets while the other will not. We cannot stress enough how terrible it is to live without certainty and assurance of eternal life. It is like living with death hanging over us. Therefore, we stress and explain these things so that we would be certain. If uncertainty is terrible, then the opposite is wonderful. To know we are God's children and always will be, and that our struggles with sin will not rob us of our security, even though it will affect our joy for a little while, is the greatest peace of mind that we can have. Do you not think that such an assurance will put a bounce in your step and a smile on your face, even when things are not going well or smooth? When we know that our treasure is in heaven and secure, it will help us not to hold on to the treasure we have on earth and serve the Lord more freely. This is how Christ wants us to live. That is with full assurance that we are children of the King and hence in joy and peace. Now ask yourself, do I have such joy and peace and assurance? If not, then look at the avenues we have mentioned and ask, which have I neglected? Then begin to address that and learn from God's word and become familiar with all that Christ has done and given you. Also learn to see sin will affect your assurance and that holy living is tied to our experiencing assurance. Live for the Lord and you will find great joy and assurance. Full assurance and certainty are there for you. Don't ignore it. Experience it day by day. And out of that joy, live in gratitude to God. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you that your promises are certain. You know us through and through. You know that we fail often, yet we love you with all our strength. Lord, guard our faith and deliver us from Satan's lies and deception. Let him not cause our faith to fail. Keep us close to yourself. We are glad that though we falter, your love for us will never waver. May we always return to the cross and be reminded that you love us unconditionally, and you always will. Lord, assure our hearts that we may continue our journey of service with humble confidence. Hear our prayer, O Lord, for we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. All right, let's stand and respond and sing out of the blue hymnal, number 445, all stanzas.